it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel and podcast. We are back with another post-match reaction, this time as Newcastle leave the FA Cup at the hands of Manchester City. It is myself, Chris, your host today, joined by Joe and Nickel. Both of these guys were at the game yesterday, but we'll get their thoughts on it throughout the next 20 to 30 minutes. I'm going to come to you first, Nickel. Like we said there, you were at the game, and we heard the news of what the start lineup was going to be around about half an hour before it was announced, and rumours started circulating that Eddie Howe was going with a back five, with two wing-backs, the wing-backs being Jacob Murphy and Dan Byrne, with Lascelles coming in to accompany Botman and Fabian Shaw at centre-back as well. What were your thoughts on that? Because personally, I thought that was the right choice to do going in this game, because we all know how dominant Manchester City can be in these games.
Yeah, I think we kind of expected it, and we did mention it on the preview that we definitely thought Lascelles would come in at least. But I think switching to the back five was really the right thing to do. I think when you go away to Man City, you've got to try and contain them as best you can with the quality of player that they've got. And then utilise your strength and attack with your pace in terms of Murphy, Gordon, Willock and Isak. So I can see why Eddie did that, and I do think it was the right move as well. Yeah.
Joe, Eddie Howe set the team up in what you can... It's basically a 5-3-2 formation, isn't it? Three midfielders in there being Willock, Bruno and Longstaff. Then Gordon accompanied Isak up top. Were you shocked to see him with two up top?
Yes. Well, when I first saw the team sheet, I thought we might have that free roll behind Isak drifting off onto the left, because you had Murphy as a right wing back. And I thought, well, it's kind of an opportunity to do almost what Trippier does in the back four when he pushes forward in as a back four. But obviously, well, this time it would be a back four with the four centre backs. But it wasn't quite the case. Gordon did stay quite late up front and was trying to latch on with some of the long balls that were being played along with Isak. So yeah, it was difficult. Obviously uncommon role, I would say, having him and Isak like up top together through the middle. I can see why it was done, because like you say, like Nickel said, we were trying to contain City and then play the long ball and hope that one of them two can latch onto it, or use Bruno to press the ball forward, because he did manage to do that a few times. Yeah, I can see why the game plan was that, but it didn't quite work. Their centre backs were too good at bringing the ball down, and just we just didn't seem to click in that regard. So yeah, it didn't quite work.
Yeah, and Nickel, I think as the game panned out in the first 10, 15 minutes, Doku saw a lot of the ball on that left-hand side, and Doku was quite a nuisance throughout the game. Drifted over to the right later on in the game. But we seemed to struggle containing that on the left-hand side where Doku just constantly had the ball and was just cutting inside and popping balls in the box there. It seemed to be an issue throughout, didn't it, despite having five defenders on the field?
Yeah, just watching the highlights back there, it felt like we were sort of, you know, we were sitting towards, you know, the edge of our 18-yard line, but there were still gaps in there for their sort of more technical players to play in. And I think that as we get onto the goal, you know, although we had a lot of players in and around the ball, we weren't actually on where we needed to be to stop a shot or to block passing lanes. So yeah, I think it was a difficult difficult balance of getting that defence and attack right.
Yeah, so I'll come back to you, Joe. The commentary, Danny Murphy, was not happy with Joe Willock's positioning when we conceded that first goal, saying that he should be giving Dan Byrne a lot more protection. Dan Byrne tries to stick his foot out, and basically it's just an overstretch really from Dan Byrne, where he tries to put his leg in the way of the shot, which he does do well, but it's one of those awful deflections where it just loops over the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper can do nothing but look over his right shoulder and just see that ball nestle in the bottom corner of the net there. We've looked at this before where we've looked at Dan Byrne's positioning in certain areas of the field, and we've always come back to he needs more protection. And we were hoping with Joe Willock coming back into the team, you would be seeing a lot more of that. Are you in agreement with the commentary? Should Joe Willock be a lot better in that, in those sort of points of the game?
Right. I'm tempted to say no, because at the end of the day, a deflection is a deflection, and it was a disgusting one. But when you look at the game as a whole, I thought that Dan Byrne and that Willock cover actually, for the most part, dealt with them quite well. Nickel, we were saying in the ground that even if the ball got past Dan Byrne, there was always a centre-back there, whether it was Botman or Cher, to clean up and to get it away. And they were quite successful in that, at least in the first sort of 20, 30 minutes. We dealt with quite a few of those dangerous balls. I mean, the way that Man City were playing as well, they were overloading like Alexis Kovacic and Rodri on sort of the edge of the box as well. Had drifted in to cover the likes of Bernardo Silva on that left-hand side, he would have just left space open for those players to run in and to exploit that space down the middle. You've just got to call it. It was unlucky. It was really unlucky. And again, same with the second goal, it was relentless pressing, and it was two really crap goals to concede. But no, I can't blame Dan Byrne either, really, because they did what they had to do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think you can look at blaming anybody for that. It's one of those unlucky goals, and like you mentioned, and we'll come back to you, Nickel, that the second one, very similar, where Bernardo Silva has a shot, and it's a strange header for Botman to try and deal with. It takes us the slightest of touches, then Dubravka's already gone at this point. Yeah. It's strange defending from Sven Botman, a player who likes to score a deflected goal. We've seen that a few times in the last couple of seasons. And Pua Dubravka always seems to, well, Dubravka got this time. I think Karius has had the last couple. It's just strange from Botman, isn't it? Defensive wise,
I think maybe he thinks he can get a full head on it, you know, to clear it. But obviously, it's coming a bit of a pace, and he can't get his full sort of clean connection on it, and then that's just sort of thrown Dubravka. And I have seen a couple of comments leveling a bit of blame at Dubravka, but I can't agree with that, because I just think that, you know, that's happened in a split second, and he's already gone anticipating where the ball is meant to be going, and then he's just nicked it, and it's gone. So it's gone between his legs, I think, like under and underneath him. So I think it's just unlucky. But I definitely I do think for both shots we could have been a bit closer on the closeout. I do think that. I think people will automatically go to Dan Byrne and say, oh, you should have been a bit closer. But he was also looking at Kyle Walker on the overlap. So I think that's where Joe Willock had to be a bit close. I think Joe Willock had to do a bit better, to be honest, definitely on the first goal.
It's, like I said, it was very similar to what the commentary team was saying on BBC. One of the things which I do want to mention, George, nothing to do with goals or conceding goals. It is the referee performance throughout that game. Before Manchester City scored their second, Fabian Schär puts in an absolutely unbelievable challenge on Haaland. Absolutely cleans him out, but wins the ball comfortably by doing so. The referee... Well, the referee doesn't seem fazed by it. It doesn't look like he's going to give a free kick or anything like that. And the play continues. As soon as the ball goes out of play and then the play is stopped, the referee calls over Fabian Schär and gives him a yellow card for that challenge. Fabian is not happy. Were you happy in that ground?
No. I think we spent off the game slagging the ref off, like, and the linesman, to be honest. There were at least a couple of occasions where I remember one time Willock on the left-hand side, he took the ball in. I think it just went out of play, but it did go out of play. But then a few minutes later on the other side, I think, I can't remember which City player it was, but it's exactly the same thing happened. It was clear as day, went out and they just didn't give anything. And we were like, what's going on? The ref was playing into their hands so much. I mean, Man City did really well in breaking any kind of momentum. As soon as we got in our way, they were more than happy to just take tumble. Not saying they dive, but, you know, they did give the referee something to think about. And he thought it was really soft. I thought we put in plenty of good challenges. It's one of those. Like, it all depends on how the player goes down a lot of the time. But it didn't help. It didn't help the fact that we then had two centre-backs on yellow cards.
Early on in the game, Lascelles picked one.
Yeah, Lascelles and Schär got one. And then you look, them two are on a yellow card. Bruno's obviously got to be careful as well. And it meant that we didn't quite have that bite and that snap that we needed. Because I think when Lascelles took the yellow card, I might have said to you, Nick, like, what's he doing now? We're like 20 minutes into the game. I think he took down Doku, didn't he? And yeah, I can understand breaking up the play and that, but then you sat there going, well, geez, like, that's going to happen for the next 70 minutes. Like, they're just going to run at us. And at that point now, we're going to have to be very careful. So it made things really hard, difficult for us. And it added an extra layer to why I thought Eddie Howe should have made some changes at halftime. Inevitably, he didn't. But... yeah,
so sticking with you there, Joe, is because we did have a chance before went in at 2-0 at the break there. Because I think it's Murphy that puts a ball across and it's Dan Burn that knocks it back down for Isak. Then Isak has a shot at goal. It's a great save from the goalkeeper. It really is. And that was really our only chance at goal where you forced the keeper to make the save. Throughout the game, Newcastle had a total of two shots at goal and one on target. That being the one which are on target. When you look about Manchester City, they had 19 shots at goal, which you're expecting that. Of course, you're expecting those shots coming towards you, but it's me and Nicol was speaking about this before we started recording. It's just a bit frustrating that once again, we haven't really laid a glove on the opposition, especially a top team opposition, and we get it. We know how good Manchester City are. But there just seemed like a little bit of a lack of fight in that game until obviously you get that chance. Then I think once Isak got that chance, things slightly changed a little bit. We started coming to the game at that point, leading up to halftime. But like you said, going into halftime, what were you wanting Eddie Howe to do at that moment to change things?
Well, the way I look at it, it's a one-off cup game. You can't draw it. I mean, obviously you can't, but then it'll go to penalties. So like, it's got to be settled one way or another. You're 2-0 down. The game plan that you had clearly didn't work. I mean, I guess it opens the question, was the game plan working? Because, yeah, we conceded two, but there were two deflections. And you've got to look at it and go, right, okay, it was unlucky, but then are we containing them for the most part? And then are we able to actually threaten them? And besides that Isak chance, we weren't threatening whatsoever. We were allowing them to recycle the ball. And even when we got into their half, we were latching on hopeful long balls, as I said earlier. There was no strings or triangles being put into play. And it was, you're looking at going, well, I'm not seeing where this attacking creativity is going to come from. And we, at this point, we need two goals. So you think, right, something needs to change. I remember, again, we said a half-time nickel. I'd rather get pumped 4-0 and actually have a go at trying to score and putting them under pressure. And then they came out and it was exactly the same game plan again. The midfield was completely overran. Bruno was the only one who was able to carry the ball and bring it forward. He did it a couple of times in the first half. He would take the ball from deep, drive forward, actually beat a player or two. And then that allowed the likes of Willock, Gordon, Isak to actually get into some space. And we were unlucky with a few overhead passes not to be in behind the defence. So the potential was there, but we just weren't brave enough to try that. I remember, I go back to the League Cup game against City, where we won at home. The first half, it was backs against the wall, relentless. Pretty much a similar story to what we saw yesterday. But then the second half, the pressing that we showed and just the balls to go toe-to-toe. I'm not saying you can go toe-to-toe for City for 90 minutes, but that second half in the League Cup, we were playing past the triangles around them. They were struggling to deal with us. And I'm like, well, why can't we just try that again? I appreciate it's the Etihad, but it's still a grass pitch. It's still, 11v11. Like, we can do that and we've shown we can do that. But we've gone back to this almost Bruce era of soak it up, hope we don't concede again. And what, maybe we had one shot on target in the first half. If we replicate that same performance again in the second half, we'll lose 2-1 if we score it. That's going to be no good. Longstaff, again, was anonymous, but we know that he's been playing through an injury. It's not been great. Anderson's coming back as well, but I think you need to change things up in that midfield because Bruno was the only one who was able to actually start playing, carry the ball, and take on their players. So, no, I was disappointed to see that we didn't try something different immediately. And it took until 60 minutes for us to actually get going and really cause them some threat.
Obviously,
there was the three or four subs that we made.
The lads come back out after half-time, nickel, and it's backs against the wall, probably worse than what it was in the first half. It was just chance after chance for Manchester City up until that moment, which Joe's mentioned, where the 60-second moment where Eddie Howe decides to make four changes. Just to quickly go through the changes, Dan Burn goes off for Lewis Hall, Gordon is off for Almiron, Willock off for Anderson, and Longstaff is replaced by Miley. Mm-hmm. The game changed slightly for around about 10 minutes, where we looked like there was a little bit of a fire in my belly at that point. I thought Miggy done really well driving a drive up the field as well. Lewis Hall looked absolutely sensational for a moment when he came on as well, which, do you know what it is? I've been quite critical of Lewis Hall because the times which I have seen him, I haven't thought he's been great, but I've always put that down to not having that extended run in the team and just coming on for a few minutes here and there with huge gaps in between that. It's not like it's even a constant every game he'll come on and make that appearance. What were your thoughts on Lewis Hall? Because I know he has been getting a lot of praise across social media in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I thought he did okay. I don't think he was unbelievable, but yeah, he did okay. And he kept it tidy and got forward as well. And I think out of the subs, to be honest, I think that Anderson was probably the best out of the subs and made the most impact. He was getting his foot on the ball and Miley did well as well in midfield. So yeah, things did change a bit when they came on and we did look a bit better, but again, not without really laying it, having real big opportunities.
So when you're saying those two midfielders coming on, when you're talking about Miley and Anderson, does that not make you even more shocked that Sean Longstaff is still getting his place in that starting 11 when we can all see clearly that something's not right with Longstaff? He's been off the pace for a little while now. We've shown how well Miley can do against these big teams. And yes, we've all said Miley, he's probably had far too much game time than he should have had at this age. Coming in, obviously, out of nothing really because of the injury crisis which we had. But going back, are you shocked that Longstaff continues to get those minutes under his belt from the first whistle?
I wasn't shocked to see him yesterday just because I thought that Eddie would go a bit more defensive-minded because, Anderson and Miley are a bit more forward-thinking in that way, I would say, rather than Sean Longstaff. But I think another thing to consider is that obviously Maiwi has played a lot of minutes this season, and he's still very young. And then Anderson is working his way back up to full fitness. So, but what I would say is that Anderson probably has an argument after this international break, after the, you know, the couple of weeks in the warm weather training camp, to get his fitness fully back to 100%. And then I think he could be in with a shout of coming in from the start and possibly giving Longstaff a bit of a rest.
Hmm. Do you think that's what he needs right now, Joe? Do you think Longstaff just so needs a rest and just recover from this injury which he's fighting through by the sounds of things?
Yeah, he really needs a rest, man. He did so well for us last season. And I think the thing with Longstaff is he thrives in this system where the pressing with Eddie Howe, like the Eddie Howe system of pressing and the relentlessness on the ball, that's what he's best at. He's not the most technically gifted player. We know this. But it was his running in the distances that he... and the almost dog work that he did to allow the likes of Joe Linton and Bruno to go higher up the pitch. Like, that's where he thrived. And we're missing those personnel. And for one reason or another, we can't play the same system that we were used to seeing last season. And I think it is exposing Longstaff's limitations, especially when you've got players like Bruno, like Willock on the ball, who you watch them and you are comfortable that they're going to do, if they're in danger, they'll be able to do something to get out of it, whether that's a little half turn, whether that's a skillful pass, or whether it's just that dribbling and being able to control, like a controlled dribble. I just don't think Longstaff has that same kind of level that they do, and because of that, it's...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's not quite clicking for him, and I don't think it's doing his confidence any favours. He's been getting a lot of criticism recently, and like rightly so. But when we talk about Lewis Miley, we talk about the fact that he's 17, that there's a duty of care to protect him, that he shouldn't be playing as many minutes as possible. But that same duty of care has to be extended to Sean Longstaff, and to say, if you're playing through an injury, if you're not quite up to the same level as we need you to be, we have the options now. We've got Anderson. Miley can play. Just take him out the team for a little bit. That, and not saying don't play him at all. Maybe come on as a sub to help out, you know. But I think he needs a rest because it's not working for him. And at this point, I would actually say that him being in the team is almost a detriment to that starting 11. And when it gets to that point, you know, you really need to take a hard look at what's going on.
Yeah, it's at the point now, Nickel, where we saw with Dan Byrne a few weeks back, where it kind of is that low-hanging fruit moment for fans, where they can just look at that one player, and I think Longstaff is probably the easiest target right now to look at, because performances have been pretty poor from him recently. And he seems to be, the spotlight seemed to have moved from Dan Byrne across to Longstaff, which I thought were all saw coming to a certain degree. Are you in agreement with Joe?
I think he needs to come out maybe for a little bit, but let's not forget that it was only a few months ago we were saying we really need Sean Longstaff back in this team. So it's by no means writing him off and saying, you know, he should never play again. It's more a case of give him a little rest and he can still be a massive part of the season moving forward. You know, we've got very important games coming up in the league, and we are going to obviously need him. So maybe you know, take him out the firing line for a little bit, but and see how he does when he comes back in. But definitely, you know, he's played a big part in the last, you know, in our success over the last couple of seasons. And when he was out, people were calling for him to come back as soon as he could, which he obviously has, and he's clearly playing through an injury or pain at the minute, which is obviously great dedication, but maybe it is perhaps also working against us in some ways.
Yeah, there's been a lot of noise. Just to summarise, obviously, and wrap this one up, Joe, there's been a lot of noise, and I'm seeing a lot. I've seen it a fair bit, and this is something which you had a bit of a rant about last night. A lot of people going with the headline, Newcastle United season is over. With us being out of the Champions League, not being in the League Cup, out of the FA Cup now, and obviously fighting for a European spot now. Mm-hmm. Is our season over?
Bloody hell, no, it's not over. Like, right, okay. So, why do I even start with this? We've got Europa League to play for, or Europa Conference League. Sixth and seventh are still very much attainable. And when you look at the fixtures that we've got left, Man United away and Spurs at home are the two that really stand out as being very challenging, and fair enough. But, you know, a lot of the fixtures that are left are very winnable. And, you know, I appreciate when people might turn around and counter-argue that and say, well, Luton was a winnable fixture. Forest was a winnable fixture. We didn't get that. And yeah, totally fair enough. Understand that point. But we've seen what this team can do. And I think one of the most pivotal things is the return of Joe Willock. And let's not forget, he's kind of come back into a bit of a storm of chaos here, where he's had Blackburn away, which, you know, the Championship side, they're going to batten down the hatches. They were quite difficult. It's different when you play against a Premier League side like Wolves, where he played really well against Wolves. Wolves were able to overcommit. We played on the counter-attack and we exposed the weaknesses that they had. A lot of the teams that we're going to come up against, they're going to exploit more space than the likes of a Chelsea away or a Man City away. We're not be playing Man City every week. I think there's a massive opportunity here to go on a run of games and pick up some momentum that we've struggled to have because of injuries and because of fixture congestion. And I know that stuff was more prominent back in December, and we don't have the fatigue excuse anymore, but I just think there's so much more to play for, and I know what this team can do. And I just, it might be a bit of blind faith on my part, you know, but at the end of the day, as a fan, that's what you got to have, right? You just got to hope that we can pull this together and the personnel who's on the pitch can step up. You know, we're hopefully having Pope back before the end of the season. I don't know, it might be April now. I don't know. But, you know, Harvey Barnes should be back by the end of the month. And we've just got to back the lads and see us getting that Europa spot. We've made it to the quarterfinals of both cups, and we were so close to getting to the knockout stage of the Champions League. That, when you combine it with all of the mitigated circumstances that we've had this season, yeah, it's, I think, we can't expect much more than that.
I think, just to interrupt you, Joe, as well, though, just, yes, we've made it the quarterfinals of both cups, but I think we'll have to look at the teams that we've been drawn against as well there.
And the League Cup
was absolutely honking, the teams we had. So it started with Manchester City, wasn't it? So it was Manchester City, then Man United. We went out of the hands of Chelsea, if I remember right. Then obviously this one, if you're looking at the FA Cup, we've played four away fixtures. So if you look at the first one, and I know we made that look easy, just I'll make that well known. So the derby against Sunderland, that was a stroll in the park for us. But it's a difficult game to go into, especially away game at the Stadium of Light. It's followed by the away trip to Fulham, another one against Blackburn, then obviously we'll go out to the hands of Manchester City, Nickel. It's been a tough old run in those two cups, and that's not even thinking and looking at the Champions League draw.
Yeah. To be honest, I totally agree with everything Joe said, really, because we had this discussion yesterday in person. But I think, look, we've just had a bit of a rough and unlucky season. And, you know, to be honest, I think we're doing all right under the circumstances. As Joe said, I don't really think we can, you know, demand much more. I don't think at this point of where we are in the transition period.
Do you think a lot of it's just because of how well we did last season? I know people keep on mentioning this, but yes, we had a fantastic season last year, probably overperformed to a certain extent. there's been a big drop off, and yes, I know a lot of that is down to the injuries which we've sustained mm-hmm. across the field. There's been so many, a lot of your big players being injured as well. And we just look at the team now with Pope and Joe Linton being injured, it's a huge miss.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, though, when Eddie Howe has had players at his disposal and being able to field a strong starting 11 with a couple of players available from the bench as well, performances haven't really picked up that much.
No, they just haven't been at the level of last season. And as you said, that you know, we definitely, you know, we did overachieve last season. Everyone was playing out with their skins, and it was you know, one of the best seasons we've had in recent times. So I think when you do have that drop off, you know, people are naturally going to feel, you know, frustrated and sort of wondering why that's happening and trying to search for a reason. As we've said, you know, countless times, there is multiple reasons and factors that go into it, so it's hard to pinpoint something. But yeah, just as Joe said, just got to back them now to the end of the season and hope we get Europa League or Europa Conference League. And to be honest, I would be happy with either.
Joe, I'm going to come to you anyway. What's a successful end to the season now?
It's got to be. Some kind of European finishing spot, whether it's conference or not. The main reason I say that is because the likes of Bruno, Isak, I mean, Tonali doesn't quite have the same like stand on as he maybe did when he first joined, but these players have come for a project, and we saw against City which players were really standing out as the world-class ones. I mean, under the circumstances, like, you could see which ones were just a little bit cut above the rest, and they're here for a successful project, but also they're here for their own individual careers, and a lot of them are young. They're going to be hungry for more European football. They're not going to want to languish in 9th, 10th spot. They're too good for that. And I genuinely think this team, with a good summer window, will be far better than that and will be more prepared for a European campaign of some sort, obviously not Champions League, but I think we have to focus on trying to get 7th. And it's not just that as well, it's the momentum that it brings on to next season, because if we kind of stutter our way over the finish line, I'm not saying it's going to have a massive impact on you know, next season, but I just think it would go a long way for us to get a run of 5 or 6 wins or what have you, get that confidence back that we've kind of not had over this season. I mean, let's not forget, you know, last season we were a team of momentum. We started off a little bit, you know, we struggled a little bit at the very start, then we had a great run October, November, over Christmas, January, sort of stood a little bit, and then come sort of March time after the Carabao Cup final, we basically blasted away teams, and that, you know, and we got that. We were a team of like momentum. And we need to get that back, because we've not really had it too much. I would like to quickly go back to what we were saying about sort of tactics-wise and, like, you know, how we're performing in the fact that it's not really changed too much. I think with Eddie Howe, the problem is that he has built a system that has worked and has worked with a number of players that, like I've said before, maybe limited in certain qualities, but it's worked because of the work rate and the pressing and etc. And when we've not had particular personnel like Joe Linton, like Nick Pope, like Isak for a certain number of games, like, it
Callum
doesn't
Wilson,
work.
Everybody keeps forgetting about Callum Wilson.
Callum Wilson, it doesn't work as well. And I will say that Howe does tend to maybe stick to it a little bit too much. Mm. And you have to then ask,
quite stubborn at times, Joe.
Yes, and the overall question with this is, can he get more out of the crop of players that he's got with a different system? And I don't know if I would say maybe not. So it's difficult, because we can criticize Howe and say that he's too stubborn with his team selection, maybe consistently picking Burn and Longstaff, and you know that he's not quite changing. I mean, he did just change against Man City, but that didn't quite work. And we've already spoken about whether he could have done something different. But, you know, I think you've got to think, can he get more out of this crop of players that he currently has? I don't know if he can. I think we need a good summer window. I think we need Tonali back. in Joe Linton back, and I'm quite hopeful for when August comes around that we'll be in a much stronger position.
Fingers crossed, yeah. I think yesterday's performance, yes, I think you would be silly to expect a Newcastle United win there. I know on our day, yes, we can beat anybody that's in front of us. We can. But this is Manchester City at the end of the day. They are light years ahead of not just ourselves, but many football teams across the world. And once again, it just showed the gulf in quality between the two sides. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. There's hopefully a lot more improvement to come from this side and football club in the near future. It's just, once again, no matter how many times I say it and defend the reasons why there's a difference in class and in quality, you're just expecting that little bit more on the day. And I think that's what a lot of fans are frustrated about, that two shots at goal, one shot on target. It's not a great performance, no matter who you're up against. Yeah, it really isn't. And like you said, Joe, as soon as you go a goal down, two goals down, that game plan's out the window, five at the back. It's completely gone. You need to go on the front foot. You need to change things. You know, need to go on the front foot. You need to create chances, which, yes, we did create a couple of chances throughout that game. Isaac, at times, couldn't even move the ball from underneath his feet. There was a chance where Dan Burn should have hit it, and he just fumbled over and tried to play it back to Isaac, which was horrendous. It's just, in those moments against teams like Manchester City, you have to be top of your game. Any sort of defences errors or anything like that, they'll capitalise it. And when you do get that one shot at goal, you need to put that ball in the back of the net.
I think the thing that really annoyed me yesterday was that when we made the subs and we got the likes of Lewis Hall on, we actually looked really dangerous at times. Mm. And we were actually getting those passing lanes going and pressing up the pitch. And yeah, I'm not saying we would have necessarily won if Lewis Hall had started and we were playing like four at the back or whatever, but just we'll give it more of a go. But why did it take until 60 minutes when we're 2-0 down at the end? You had to go, oh, you know what we might want to do? Attack and actually, you know, press them. We're 2-0 down. What you got to lose? Like, I'm not comparing the two, really, but it was slightly reminiscent of the Bruce days where we had that quarterfinal against City and we were happy to lose 2-0 and be like, oh, well, you know, we kept the score down. That's not good.
We're expecting it to be worse. I know. Yeah, we've seen a lot of that on social media the last day, really, people saying, well, I was expecting the scoreline to be a lot higher than that. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to see how many goals we can keep out the back of the net. That's not what we're here to do.
It's not about goals. It's not about sort of losing gracefully. It's about giving it a go.
It's getting to Wembley. That's what it was all about yesterday, mate. It was
yesterday. I know.
It was all about getting to Wembley, and we had one shot on target.
Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. Maybe, you know, maybe Eddie Howe's game plan in his head, it was going to be more effective than what it was. I just didn't see what could possibly come out of how we were set up. And the proof was in the pudding, where we had one shot on target in the first half. And like I say, it took until a few positive subs at 60 minutes to actually make a difference. Hmm. And that was just like, well, okay, great. It's too late now.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I get it. Anything that you want to add, Nickel, before we go?
Next year, right, lads?
Next year, right, lads? We'll do this dance all again.
we'll try and get Europe this season, and then we obviously know that the summer is a massive summer for the, you know, a bit of an overhaul. And you know, get, you know, move some players on, get some new players in. But obviously, getting Europe will be a factor in who we can attract in the summer. So yeah, for the remaining league games, just try and finish in Europe in some sort of capacity, and see what happens in the summer, and go again next year, and maybe we'll get to Wembley next year.
it's like Joe said, Nicole, I think it's not just the fact of players that you can attract; it's also players that you can keep as well,
definitely
could be the worrying thing come the summer. Thanks everybody who has been watching this one. If you are listening to the audio as well, thanks very much. Just give us a 5-star review, means a lot to us. If you are watching on YouTube, just like the video, become a subscriber. It costs you nothing to do that. I will be back tomorrow night, Monday night, with the Always Smiling Faces podcast, boys, and we will be going through this game once again in a little bit more detail. And I've got a feeling that there'll probably be some disagreements tomorrow night between myself and the three lads, as always. But we'll see you there at 8:10 on YouTube. And thanks, boys. It's been a pleasure, as always. Shame the result, as always, recently isn't the best. Thanks, boys. See you later.
Podcast Network.